You're listening to The Daily Digestionalist with Matthew Heidmark at RadioArian.com.
This is your host of The Daily Traditionalist, Matthew Heimbach, and I'm here today. It's one of the most important days. It's Wednesday. It's hump day. We're all getting through the work week together, and I'm joined today with Sven Longshanks for another great show for commentary discussing issues that are facing our movement. So lots to dig into. We're going to jump right into it. Sven, how are you doing today?
Hi, Matt. Yeah, I'm good. I'm enjoying the new year. I've busy working on stuff with Radio Arian. Got a new series that's starting tomorrow, Arian Esoterica, which is written by me, looking at Hitler the Ultimate Avatar by Miguel Giordano, and hopefully finding some common ground between National Socialism, Nordic Paganism, Arian Hinduism, the Vedas, and also Christianity. So I'm looking forward to putting that on air tomorrow and seeing what response that will get. So I've been busy here. I've also just been watching the news today, and you know how we were expecting there to be mass rapes again in Cologne with the Muslims that were there. And thanks to the police presence, there wasn't really mass rapes. There was a church that was burnt down, and I believe there were a thousand or so Muslims causing problems. But over in Bengal, exactly the same thing happened as happening here in Cologne. The Muslims went out mass raping amongst their own. I think this just proves that, you know, it doesn't matter where they are in the world, Muslims are going to behave like Muslims. And they've gone on this mass raping spree over there. And I know it's not white people that are the victims. It's these Bengali women that are the victims. But I just think it must be so obvious to these liberals that race is what it's all about. You cannot ignore race. You cannot be a civic nationalist. And one of the most important things that we have to remember as nationalists is not to allow the Jews to get involved in our nationalism or any of these other groups. You know, you can't really have a half caste that's promoting nationalism, because the only nationalism he can be promoting is civic nationalism. And you can't allow Jews to be involved in nationalism either, because that will just dilute it and water it down. And also we see that if any of us do start accepting Jews and speaking out against the more radical end of the spectrum of the right, they just get attacked anyway. We've got Paul Golding over here in Britain, who's the frontman for Britain First, and they're very, very pro-Jewish. They even went to Golders Green, which is the Jewish colony in London, to show solidarity with them, as if the Jews are a persecuted minority when they run the media, the government, the banks, everything. But they made a big point of going there and saying, we have solidarity with Jews, we support the Jews. And where is Paul Golding now? He's sat in a prison cell. You know, all this sucking up to the Jews didn't get him any benefits whatsoever. You know, he's in prison. And we've also had calls in government for Britain First to be declared a terrorist organisation. So it doesn't matter how much you suck up to the Jews, how much you try and disassociate yourself from the Nazis, you're still going to get called that, and you're still going to get treated in that same way. So, I'm very disappointed to see people over there in America that are trying to distance themselves from Richard Spencer and National Socialism and the racial side of the far right or the alt-right, and the people that are speaking out against Jews, because it's all part of the same spectrum, and we should be supporting one another in the same way that the left all supports one another. It doesn't matter what part of the left it is, the left will always stand together, and we just seem to fall apart on things. And I'm thinking particularly of this deplorable situation that's going on over there in America at the moment, with people being told that they can't go to this event if they speak out against Jews, when Jews are right at the heart of everything. Every issue that we talk about, everything that we try to do for our people, you will always find that you are opposed to Jews. It doesn't matter what it is, whether you're anti-pornography, anti-immigration, anti-drugs, Just anti the banks, anti the demoralization and the degradation of our culture. It's always Jews that are involved in doing it to us. You know, you cannot cover that up. So we should not be giving Jews a platform to have anything to say at our meetings or in our media. And we should say, you know, we're ethnic nationalists. That means that we cannot have other races, particularly Jews, involved in it. You know, we can, if people are fighting against the same enemy, you know, we can say, well, we're not going to knock that group because they're fighting against Zionism, say, if it's a group like Hezbollah. But as far as allowing these other races to have leading positions or to be given a platform in our nationalist media, we shouldn't have that. And we should be supporting those that speak out against them. And we should be encouraging the alt-right to speak out against them as well, I feel.
Well, and you know, you talk about New Year's. I saw a thing with France that they had close to 1,000 cars burned. You know, of course, majority in you know, going into to white areas and burning cars. You know, not 100, not 200, not 500, but nearly 1,000. And this is a racial issue. I mean, and if you just look that the society that we have in the West is built for Western people because it was built by Western people, just as our values and the way that we behave and the way that we do business and things like that. I know some guys that, that you know, work for companies and corporations that have done business overseas, and you actually have to have a guide, even if you speak the language, on how to do things like business negotiations, how to be able to handle how everything works, because even peoples you know, that are extremely civilized, they just have a different way of doing things. And in this Western society that's built for us and by us, these other groups of people just do not have the same values. And, you know, as nationalists, I respect everyone's culture and it works for them. It's just like why the American intervention into Iraq was such an abysmal failure, because we showed up and said, every Iraqi is going to be Thomas Jefferson or George Washington, take this American form of Republican government. And, you know, it isn't really working here, but it's definitely not going to work over there when there's religious differences, sectarian differences. There's different tribal groups that have different ways they organize their society, whether it's a more tribal way. You have a more patriarchal society. You have a religious-based society on different creeds of Islam, that this Western society does not work with them when we impose it on them. You know, that it just doesn't come together because they're a separate people. Separate peoples develop separate cultures because culture comes out of the folk. That's what it is. It's an organic expression. It's an organic experience that's grown and tended and raised up by the people there. So all the violence that we're seeing in the West, it's not going to get better. In fact, it's going to get worse when we talk about multiculturalism, because these we're talking about different peoples who organize their societies differently, have different values, and that's why we need to have nationalism for everyone, where everyone lives in their own nation state and their own culture is then dominant, and it works for them. We don't have to like everything they do, because what happens in their nation is their national business. You know, a nation is an extended family, and they're a separate family. They can take care of their family affairs. It's not my job to go and tell my neighbors how to raise their children or what they're going to teach their children. I know what I'm going to raise my children with and what my values are and how my family is going to be. But the multiculturalism is just going to lead to more conflict. But, you know, this issue of the, you know, of what you mentioned with Paul Golding, we see this time and time again that the, you know, the supposed moderates want to switch over, and they say, oh, we want to ignore the, you know, the JQ. And again, I always get brought back to that very powerful you know, thing I read from Nick Griffin a few years ago, where that he was offered money, and the BNP was offered a lot of money to drop talking about Zionism. And then you get groups like Britain First, you get groups like the EDL with their Jewish and their homosexual division and things like that, that are trying to steal the thunder. You've got these pop-up populist parties. They're not nationalist groups. They're these pop-up populist parties. And you know what? They're viewed the exact same way. I mean, one just has to look at what's happening in Germany with the Alternative for Deutschland, the AfD. They're getting their lawmakers arrested and charged with hate speech and things like that for opposing Angela Merkel, for opposing her policies of genociding the German people. That they are treated now the exact same as the NPD is. They are treated 100% the exact way, but they're losing out on a lot of the important message. And I'd like to see, we're already seeing this movement towards really, you know, elements of the Alternative for Deutschland becoming far more nationalist. Kind of, they're realizing this. You cannot be clever. You know, our movement should not be clever. Our movement has to be intelligent. It has to be professional. But what we're talking about is understandable from the simpleton to the scholar, because nationalism is loving your extended family, and you have to attack the things that are attacking your family. You can't outsmart them. You shouldn't outsmart them. You should just be honest about what they are. And we don't win any points with the system. We don't win any points. They will crack down on us equally. And when you bring up a leftist solidarity, it's so true. I mean, I saw when I went to some of the Occupy Wall Street camps when I was living near D.C., I went to go check those out. And you had socialists there. You had people with hammer and sickle flags there. You had anarchists there. And you had people from the Democratic Party there. And they weren't infighting. They weren't attacking one another. They were just all there in solidarity with one another. The left does not break ranks. So on the right, it is so important for us to realize that not everyone's going to do the exact same thing, and that's okay. You know, everyone takes slightly different positions, but we shouldn't be attacking each other, and we shouldn't think that attacking those that are further to the right is going to buy us points with the system, because the system hates us equally. And to ignore, you know, to say that somehow we're going to moderate our position and not talk about the Jewish role in banking, the Jewish role in the media, the Jewish role in the pornography industry, the Jewish role with these NGOs and the George Soroses of the world, financing elections for those that are trying to demographically displace us, that are supporting these NGOs, bringing these refugees in. I'm not talking about the Jewish role in the imperialist policies that are causing things like the Syrian civil war, driving millions of people towards the West. If we don't talk about that, we are not talking about the real cause of these problems. So we don't win any points by breaking ranks. It actually makes us look a lot weaker. I mean, just look at the Romans, look at the Spartans, look at any time, you know, people, even if they were outnumbered, if they had unity together and they worked together in concert with one another, they were far more powerful. You can have a mob that was outnumbered 10 times, but if you're disciplined and organized and you don't break ranks, even if you get pushed back sometimes, you never rout, you know, and you can always then push back. That unity is such a key thing. And to say that we need to moderate our message is a very dangerous thing, because then we're ignoring one of the fundamental problems our people are facing. And to ignore these problems is just going to make sure that they get worse. We need to be open and honest and talking about the Jewish role in what we're dealing with and what our people are dealing with.
Well, yeah, it becomes like self-censorship. You know, if you don't, it'd be interesting to see if anyone from the AFD does get arrested or imprisoned, because I think that will gain them more support. And they need to get, they've doubled their support in the last year. So they're getting pretty big now. They're getting a lot of media exposure. And if they were to start locking them up for things that they say on Facebook, when all they're doing is criticizing the Merkel regime, that is going to drive more people towards the AFD. You know, people are going to realize that this is a clampdown on free speech, and this is basically persecuting people that have different opinions to the prevailing establishment. I mean, that's all it is. People are so used to hearing, from the left of the establishment, from the right of the establishment, and they're not actually used to hearing anything that comes from nationalism. And when people actually do hear what nationalists have to say, it's very appealing. You know, I mean, you talk about loving your people. It's not about hating other races. It's about loving your people and looking out for them. And I think when it comes to pointing out the role that the Jews have played in this, in the white genocide agenda, it's quite easy to point them out. I mean, a lot of people don't realize just how many they are, because they look at them and they think, oh, they're just white. They're just white people that look a little bit odd. So it can help if you point them out and say, look, you know, that's a different surname. That's a different name that he has. You know, that they're all Jews that are doing this. All those bankers that are crashing the economy, they're all Jews. All those owners of the huge supermarkets that are doing all the small shops out of their business, they're all Jews. You can talk about the Conservative Friends of Israel and the various political groups in the establishment that all pledge their allegiance to Israel and to the Jews. I mean, just this week, or last week, I think it was, we had Theresa May pledging her allegiance to Israel because of Obama's step at not vetoing the UN resolution. For some reason, she felt that she had to step forward and pledge her undying love for Israel. And this goes back to this new definition of anti-Semitism as well, that if the Jew says it's anti-Semitism, regardless of what you said. So it's like there's an onus on people that they have to be philo-Semitic all the time. If you're not being philo-Semitic, then you must be an anti-Semite. And they're trying to push things in this direction. So it is very important that we speak up about this, because otherwise people are not going to, they're not going to understand it. They're not going to be used to it. We need to get people used to us speaking about the Jews and pointing out the role that they have. We shouldn't have taboo subjects, people that are protected more so than anyone else in the country. I mean, these Jews really are protected. And you've got Joshua Bonehill, 5 years he's looking at now just for laughing at the Jews. You know, it seems to be when you can criticize black and white crime, you can criticize the Muslims, you might get a few things said at you, but if you really go after these Jews, then they really clamp down hard, and we need to publicize the fact when they do clamp down hard on people, because we should be able to speak about what's going on. We should be able to speak about who it is that's encouraging all the immigration, who it is that's running the media, that's covering up for the black and white crime and the Muslim crime. And we need to point out that Muslims and Jews do work together. The only disagreement they have is between Palestine and Israel. On everything else, they're all on the same page. And they always have been. When you look back at history, they've always colluded together against the white man, because back then it was colluding together against Christianity. But you know, whether it's Christianity or whether it's the white man, you know, that was the same thing for the first 1800 years after Christ. It's only recently that's changed. Christianity is again, that's another tack that you can take. You know, you can point out that the Jews killed Christ, the Pharisees, and Judaism itself says that it is directly descended from the Pharisees. It's the same Pharisaic religion. So how come there isn't a law against being anti-Christian? How come there's a law against being anti-Semitic when the Pharisees, if they were to say it's being anti-Pharisees, you know, people would say, well, hang on a minute, why can't you be anti-Pharisees? Weren't they the bad guys? Well, yeah, and the Jews are the bad guys. They are descended from the Pharisees. They're just modern day Pharisees. Quite open about that if you look at if you look at their encyclopedia and the descriptions of where Judaism came from. It came directly from Phariseeism. Maybe that's a tack we could take, Matt, is to highlight that and say to be anti-Semitic is to be anti-Pharisee.
Well, and I've seen that as well. And, you know, I think that's a very good thing too. Again, we need to be pointing out the truth. I mean, the truth is on our side, and the truth should never fear investigation. I mean, if you put your positions out there, I love when people question us. I had a report that should probably be out. A news agency from Cincinnati came and filmed with us and did some interviews and stuff. And I actually really respected the reporter because he grilled me. He grilled me on World War II, on National Socialism and stuff like that. And I love the opportunity. We'll see what makes it through in the final edit. But, I love to be challenged and be able to say, these are the reasons I believe what I believe, that the false media narrative that you believe in is wrong, and here's why. And if you don't believe me, you know, don't take a word I say seriously. Investigate it for yourself, because there should be no taboos within society. And the other thing is, within the nationalist movement, I don't think anyone, myself included, should be beyond our family. And that's what the movement is. That's what nationalism is one big extended family. We're kind of a wacky family sometimes. But to be able to talk with one another and have constructive criticism and not have people then break into factionalism. Don't ever attack people, I think, as long as they're being positive, even if you disagree with them, if they come from different subcultures or different backgrounds. But if we can go ahead and find ways to have constructive dialogue with one another, that makes all of us stronger. And, we should invite the public, say, these are our positions. These are the things we believe in. This is why we believe in them. And this is the investigation you should do for yourself. And within the movement, we should be able to do the same with everyone, to be able to invite constructive criticism and invite discussion. And even if you're in different groups, that to be able to say that we're all in this together. Because if we believe in securing the existence of our people and a future for white children, that means our destiny is tied up with one another. So it really is, I think, a positive thing that we need to be talking about the truth. And as I've said it before, I'll say it again, it is such an important thing of what we can do in the United States, because for now, we still have the First Amendment. So with the First Amendment, with protected speech. Who knows how long we're going to have it, but we need to use it while we can to be able to speak for so many of our comrades who are in places like Germany, who are not allowed by the law, who will go to prison to call out those that are destroying their nations and attacking European civilization and attacking all peoples around the world. We need to be able to do our duty, and it really is a duty, to speak the truth wherever we can, to use the avenues available to us, and to be able to push these messages out there. And, you know, that's why they are trying to shut down on us. Even the United States, of course, you know, with Twitter, my recent Twitter ban that actually made a Washington Post article, and the SPLC was called and said, oh, well, this is good because it's going to deny him, he's going to have a smaller microphone to spread his hateful beliefs and stuff. They know what power our truth has, and when we can engage people. But that's why we have things like this. We don't need to even go through the mainstream media. Fine, kick us off Twitter. We'll go to Gab. We'll go to kick us off Facebook. We'll go to VK. We'll find other ways to get our message out there. And we need to be speaking the truth all the time. We shouldn't cower and let the system define for us what we say. Because if we allow the system to tell us what is kosher, what is approved, then we're never going to be talking about the real issues. And yeah, you might be able to keep your Twitter account a little longer. Yeah, you might not be attacked as hard in the press. Yeah, you might not be cracked down as hard, but you're not actually pushing towards a real solution. So we need to be strong and be saying the truth wherever we can, as loud as we can. You know, my my patron saint is Saint John the Baptist, and Saint John the Baptist was known. His entire thing was telling the truth to the Pharisees about the Pharisees to all the people who would listen. And I am in no way, shape, or form good enough to even tie St. John the Baptist sandals. But, you know, that spirit is such a powerful thing that they had to execute him. And in his execution, what does St. John the Baptist do? Well, then he went into Hades to be able to preach the gospel to all those who were waiting to talk about the coming of Christ with the crucifixion. Even beheading him wasn't enough to stop his truth. And we still remember him today for his truth-telling. So we need to be engaged in being courageous. And really, I mean, Orwell said it, you know, telling the truth in an age of universal deceit is a revolutionary act. And it really is. But that is being a revolutionary, of not letting the system define for us what we talk about, not defining what is an approved subject or not, and just speaking the truth whenever we see it.
Well, a large part of that is this straw man that the left has created. And that the straw man that they've created is of a nationalist that just doesn't like other people for the color of their skin, because that's the only difference between us is the color of our skin. And that is a particularly weak straw man. You know, they can kick the hell out of that straw man. All the while, nobody challenges that, which is why they try to keep us silent, because they know that if leftists hear what we actually have to say, then they'll realize that it's not that we hate the different types of skin or that we hate certain types of color. It's that we're just actually standing up for our own people. And once the leftist realizes that actually, yeah, he is part of our own people, then why would he be against us? Why would you be against somebody that was advocating for your best interests? This is what the enemy doesn't realize, or the enemies among our own people. It's amazing to me that they don't realize it, because surely that's the logical thing. When you hear somebody as a nationalist, somebody as a British nationalist, well, that means somebody that stands up for the British people. Well, surely that is going to be somebody I want to be supporting. I mean, that's the logical way to look at it. But they've created this straw man that the British nationalist is someone that hates people because of their color of their skin, or they just hate Jews for no reason, just because they don't like the Jewish religion. You know, and they're very easy straw men to destroy once people actually hear our message. And that's what it boils down to. They want to keep the public blind and deaf to what we have to say and hearing what we have to say, because they know that if people do hear what we say, then they're going to come to our side. They're going to find it appealing. And none of them have got the ability to debate, because none of them have had a chance to actually debate a proper nationalist, because they just try to silence us all the time. I think go on.
Oh, well, I was just going to say, you know, just very briefly, 100% you're right. That's why they banned me off Twitter. That's why they've banned hundreds of alt-right accounts. That's why they pull our videos from YouTube, like The Greatest Story Never Told. They've pulled probably hundreds of times now off of YouTube. That's why they enact speech codes in Europe on what you can and cannot say. They are scared of the truth, because the truth, that what they have, is such it looks strong. This entire wall that they built up looks so powerful and so imposing. But I mean, it's kind of like you look in the scriptures around Jericho. You know, blowing the trumpets of truth can bring down these huge walls so quickly, and that's why they have to try and silence us. They spend so many hours, they spend so much money, they spend so much time on the media to attack us and try and silence us. They use physical violence, and they throw our comrades in jail or even kill us, as we see with the assassination of our two comrades in Golden Dawn a few years ago. They try and do anything because they know just the words that we speak. Truth has such a power. It shines a light on everything that they're trying to keep hidden from the people. They are scared of the truth more than anything else, and that's why they try and silence us.
Well, I think we also see it, you know, on our side as well, among the conspiracy side and the alt-light. You know, they have a straw man of the white nationalists, the anti-Semite as well. You know, they push this idea that, we're all stupid and we're just against the Jewish religion. You know, or we have these crazy ideas about a conspiracy where Jews run the world and they all get together in their secret meetings and they control everything. And they push these ideas. And again, this is why certain people among the alt-light would like to silence us. This is why it's deplorable. You know, they don't want certain people there that are going to be speaking up, who have spoken up against this Jewish question, because they know that it's the truth, and they don't want other people to hear that. So it's a great shame that we do see it, you know, on the alternative side of things as well, because it's just pushing the same media way, the same mainstream media way of looking at nationalists, really. You know, create this straw man of what we are like and tell that to people, and then hopefully they won't actually hear what we have to say and be challenged on that. So this is something that we do, you know, we need to do. We need people to be going to that deplorable and talking to the people there. We need people to be going to the Britain First demonstrations and talking to people, and the English Defence League, British National Party, even, because I know you talk about Nick Griffin standing up to the Zionists, but the British National Party are also trying to appeal to the multicultural side of things, you know, putting forward candidates that aren't white, things like that. You know, we need to be getting in amongst this alt-light, basically, and pointing out the fact that, you know, really they want to be supporting us. If they want to be supporting people that have the truth on their side, that are articulate, intelligent, that have researched all of this, that can come up with all the facts to show that we are right, then, you know, we are the people they need to be supporting, not Alex Jones and the InfoWars crowd and the old conspiracy crowd, because that just goes round and round in circles. Until you identify the Jew, you know, you're just going to keep doing that, going round and round and round in circles.
Well, exactly. I mean, you have to go down the rabbit hole, and eventually, you know, whether it's radical feminism or abortion or mass immigration or just the idea of a proposition nation. You know, an interesting thing about here in the United States, you think of the Statue of Liberty and what it represents. Well, what it actually represented was fellowship between a European country, the United States. You know, of course, our first immigration law limited immigration to white persons of good moral character, as the first immigration law ever passed in the United States. And in France, as we saw, you know, as much as I dislike the French Revolution, obviously, and the Enlightenment principles, it was still a sign of solidarity between two European nations who had assisted one another. And then, of course, what happens? You get a Jewish poet who gets this phrase, you know, give us your tired and your poor, and they slap the plaque on the side of the Statue of Liberty to utterly redefine the very definition of a nation. You would not imagine, if I had a dollar for every single time that I've had a reporter or a comment thread or something like that, where someone say, well, the Statue of Liberty says that, you know, bring us everyone from around the world, to then negate white identity and the idea of America being founded as a white European nation. You know, I could easily retire. I could buy, you know, for a white ethno state, I could buy up an entire like Latin American island that we could all go live on. It'd be great, because they bring it up all the time. And how did we get that redefinition from the first immigration law passed to 1965? We, you know, these Jewish, you know, whether it's educators with the Frankfurt School, of course, fleeing Germany, and coming here to these poets, working with their institutions, to the media, to these politicians, to with all their money, to the bankers, the Federal Reserve. You cannot address any issue that is facing the West without coming back to the Jewish question. And you have to identify that. And again, this is truth. this is not, it is a conspiracy insofar as they work together, but, you know, this is not some sort of fringe idea. People around the world, you go anywhere around the world and the peoples understand. You know, I talked about on the show, we were at a cigar lounge, you know, with some of our local comrades in Bloomington, Indiana, and there were some of the Chinese students there, because there's a lot of them from China. And they were talking about how the Jews are trying to get into China and how the Jews are running America and stuff. So, and these were not nationalists. These were just average Chinese students who understand what's going on. So our ideas that we're pushing, the people around the world already know. And we need to bring them to our people. We need to be addressing, like you said, every single place we can within the, you know, and the alt-light is going to fall because it's not built on a foundation of truth. No matter what the system does to us, our entire ideology, our entire movement, our entire goal is built on natural law, is built on history, is built on fact. Everything we're doing is built on truth. So that's, you know, what is going to make us succeed, because, you know, Victor Hugo, of course, said that there's no army that can stop an idea whose time has come. And our idea is built on truth, and they can't defeat us. So it's a very powerful thing, and that's why I'm excited that no matter what they do, we're going to win this, because truth will always vanquish the lies, especially the lies of the system. So, Sven, as we come to the end, give us your final thought, because I think this is a great and powerful discussion. But what's your final thought for the day?
Well, you know, I just like to highlight there that the Jewish problem is a biological problem. They do get together and they do conspire, but, you know, they don't have to be conspiring to cause a problem. It's just inherent in their genetic makeup to do the things that they do. It's just inherent in their genetic makeup as our altruism is in our genetic makeup. That's what we've learned through history, and that's what you can see with Jewish behavior around the world. They don't all have to be getting together in a secret lodge to plot what they're doing. They just do that anyway. They don't have to have a phone call saying, right, everybody's got to jump on this guy. They just do it naturally. But my final thought for the day would just be, don't be afraid to speak the truth. If you speak the truth, then you've got God on your side. And if you've got God on your side, you can't lose.
I 100% agree with that, and that is such a powerful thing that we are doing the right thing, and that means we're going to win. So I really appreciate you being here, Sven. I appreciate all my listeners, and I'm going to look forward to being back. We'll continue this conversation tomorrow, and I hope everyone has a great and wonderful rest of your day. Hail victory!
You've been tuned into The Daily Traditionalist with Matthew Heimbach at Radio Area.com.